I was running the businesses downtown. I personally, you know, I'm going around running the businesses downtown. And I really invite him, and I invite critics to come in here. He seems to be afraid to show himself. He's even confessed some anguish that he couldn't even write a letter to the city manager because then they'd know who he was, and I would come in and ruin his business or ruin his life or something. Well, you know, I mean, even our dispute with Citizens Committee for the Homeless, by our, I mean, Huff's dispute and perhaps SOS's dispute, is not a personal matter, and we're not interested in ruining anybody's business. What we want to do is stop the business of discrimination. We want to stop the business of harassment. We want to stop the business of indifference. And we're trying to make people aware of the needs and rights of human beings. That's what I'm trying to do anyway. And I will welcomely enter into any discussion or dialogue with people on this issue, critics and supporters. And, you know, that's part of what's going on. And who knows, this could be a dialogue coming in. Here's a phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not bad. Who's this?
Try again is what I can say. If that was a serious call, come out, call back. If it was a funny call, you know, try to add a few jokes to the call. Otherwise, it simply becomes static on the line. But as I'm saying, let's all talk about this stuff. That's the way to do it. And then let's act on it. And right now, support our shelter, SOS, needs your support. If you want to support them, I want you to give a phone call to poor ankle deep Ann with her little pager out there at the open air shelter at 469-2480. And you can call us on the air at 427-3772 and pledge $100,000. All you need is $350 to buy that property. You know, hey, that'll resolve things pretty quickly, or maybe not. And you can also give a call to 423-HUFF if you want to help. HUFF is considering a project downtown. We figure if they're going to drive everybody off the property by December 1st so that they can't even come back during the day, if that's going to happen, then we figure that the downtown merchants deserve, and the other parts of Santa Cruz deserve, really have an opportunity to see people in their native habitat. And we're going to suggest that people take their tents and their sleeping bags and their signs all around the town to show people that we are concerned about educating Santa Cruz, and we understand that it really is a great idea to drive people off out of their home territory so that they can spread the word. It'll be kind of a Christian approach to the holiday seasons, moving out from homes into the main street, downtown, and the neighborhoods and the parks. I was going to call that Camp Quest Santa Cruz, at least that's what some Huff members suggested, Camp Quest Santa Cruz. We have another face has appeared here. Oh, no, two faces have appeared here in the studio. But again, Camp Quest Santa Cruz is this merry, jovial campaign, this winter extravaganza, which may be coming soon to your own downtown business district in a local neighborhood park. You can shuffle along with shantytown shack seekers, sharing the sidewalk with the shell shop shoppers. And you'll get $5 if you can say that fast 10 times. You'll be able to experience life in the raw, a window away from the poor and the needless as you sip your cafe mocha and munch croissant. And possibly you can also survey sleeping and sanitation challenges with 50 outdoor professionals as they set up outside your house, or possibly outside your business. Because after all, since they've been driven away from where they have successfully, peacefully, and in some seclusion set up their own community, where else can they go? Pacific Ocean, perhaps, Fresno, well, let's have some suggestions. Call in at 427-3772. Anyway, what we have now is some new people in the studio, and who are these new people? Let's have them sign in.
This is Billy, Robert. How you doing?
Hey, Billy. Why don't you get a little close? You got to be about this close to the mic for everybody to get a...
Okay.
And you, sir?
I'm Dusty.
You're Dusty?
Dusty, yes.
Dusty. Okay, Dusty, come on down, Dusty, to the mic. Let me move over a little bit here.
There we go.
We're all a happy family here in the studio. So we got Dusty, Ann, Bill, and of course me. What's happening, Bill? You made it to the studio. You're a camper?
Yeah, Robert. Remember last time I was on, I talked to you and you asked me to. I was going up to the city.
Right.
And you asked me to kind of come back with a little bit of a report on it.
So you actually haven't been at the campground the last week or two. You just got back from the city.
I've been camping out up near Greyhound Rock, actually. I don't live at the shelter.
Okay, well, is there a reason you don't live at the shelter, by the way? Yes, there are some who have been critical of the shelter because staff apparently has been coming down on people, some people at the shelter. There have been problems that develop. The porta potties, as we say, don't get emptied too often at night. That was commented on by Squirrel, one of the campers who was quite vocal at different times about different issues. He talked about how the porta potties made it easier to take a dump in the bushes than, you know, deal with the delicate business of negotiating the sanitation facilities. Anyway, so why haven't you used the open air shelter yourself?
Well, I'll tell you. First of all, it's for me, it's too overcrowded. Second of all, they're shutting the doggone thing down. Why should I move in there just to have to move my stuff in another couple of weeks?
That makes sense.
You know, to me, that just doesn't make any sense at all.
So you remind us about what you talked about on the air when you were here last.
Let's see here. I think what we were discussing, a lot of what we were discussing was the hassles that those of us who are craftsmen do, selling our wares while we're making crafts.
Right.
Over along the fence at Hippie Corner there.
That's right. We've kind of neglected the folks on the street because of the open-air shelter crisis, but indeed, people at the Cage or Hippie Corner, Cathcart and Pacific, as it's alternately called, have been suffering repeated police raids by cops telling people they can't display their jewelry, they can't show their wares. In some cases, they can't even make their jewelry there, even if they're not blocking traffic, even if they provide actually a very colorful and vibrant addition to the downtown community.
Well, like I said last time I was here, there's a lot of tourists that keep coming back year after year, or at least they used to see those of us who are out there doing our crafts or our music or whatnot like that. Mm-hmm. So
that's what you were talking about last time.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've been gone since then. Has the Santa Cruz look any different to you? And feel free to jump in here. You're the co-host. You don't have to ask for permission to talk. You can shove me aside from the mic. Say, get out of here. You know, I mean. So that's your option. Anne is furiously writing notes and sort of grinning and chewing gum and playing with her Walkman at the same time. Well, hey, her batteries are going dead, and let's hope that that doesn't happen completely. Let's hope your batteries aren't dead. Our phone lines are alive. Give us a call at 427-3772. You're on the air with Bathrobes Pierre, Ankle Deep, Big Bill here, and it looks like Dusty in the corner. He's dusting around. It's pretty dusty in here, even without you, Dusty. So, what's happening up in San Francisco, Bill? Have you been any news stories for us, any reports?
Well, yeah, Robert, it was when we first got up there, we kind of got lost a little bit because it's been so long since I had been there, and my driver got a little bit lost too, and it turned out for the best because we ended up hitting the Haight-Ashbury right on time for this really interesting group of people that were feeding people.
Food Not Bombs, perhaps, or another
group? No, it's a church group called The Family. And they had guitars, and they did some really beautiful singing. Mm-hmm. It was excellent.
Right.
And we really enjoyed ourselves. We had some really good sandwiches, and they had those instant cup of soup things, and they had plenty of hot water for everybody. And
right.
Just had a grand old time out there on the sidewalk.
Well, I don't know if we'll be able to compete with that tomorrow at City Council at 3, but I invite everybody to come on down and sample our soup in front of City Council 3 o'clock tomorrow before you talk at City Council and tell them to get off their butts on the open-air shelter situation and whatever you want to tell them. Sorry, Bill, an unpaid political announcement. Go ahead.
Oh, that's quite all right. Well, you know, part of what made that so beautiful was because the cops up there in the city had told these folks that it was illegal for them to feed people right out on the street, that what they had to do by law was to go into one of the missions and feed from there. Well, in spite of that, they served on the sidewalk, and we all had a great time.
Well, that's excellent. That's good. You know, actually, Food Not Bombs has created that precedent. There have been over 1,000 arrests in San Francisco, Food Not Bombs, the only city other than Santa Cruz and Arcata, possibly a couple of other exceptions, that have arrested people for serving free food to the homeless. That ability of the family to feed on the sidewalk without arrest, even though the cops want to move people indoors and the local real estate developers would love to see the homeless, you know, swim west and sort of thing. Get out of our neighborhoods. Get out of our Golden Gate Park. You know, get out of our town. The Food Not Bombs activities have made it very difficult for cops to go after people because they know there's going to be protests. And they still do. They go in and harass people. But during the election, and as you know, Willie Brown won the runoff with Jordan. He was the highest vote getter, and he goes into and I didn't win the runoff. He won the election, initial election. Now he's going to go into a runoff. And we're going to play a tape later, if we have enough time, interview with Keith McHenry, a Food Not Bombs activist in San Francisco, talking about anti-homeless laws in other cities, talking about his tour to different cities across the country which he just returned from, and also talking about the situation up there in San Francisco. Do you have anything more from San Francisco that you think might be of interest to people here? There have been some who claim that the Matrix program has resulted in a large influx of people into Santa Cruz from San Francisco. Is this true?
Oh. You want to repeat that again? I was thinking about something else.
Sure, the Matrix program, the drive them out of the parks, the curfew, the anti-homeless stuff by Mayor Jordan in San Francisco, particularly in the last few months, some think has resulted in an influx of people into Santa Cruz. Do you think that's has happened?
There certainly are some coming down from there. Personally, I'm glad to be back home. you just can't beat my front living room view.
I see.
You know? Yeah. But interestingly enough, they have a wall up in Golden Gate Park on the side of the building. And what the homeless people that live in the park are doing is every time they get an illegal camping ticket or any ticket whatsoever, they paste it on the wall. They're working on, when I was there about 2 weeks ago, they're working on the third wall. The city keeps tearing it down.
Really?
They're doing this entire wall.
Where is this wall, actually?
It's right there at the end of Haight Street and on Ashbury.
Oh, Haight and
right at Golden Gate Park.
Right. Okay. Where Haight dead ends in the Golden Gate Park.
Right. 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 And I don't know if you got a copy of the picture yet, but I brought a picture. Okay. And if you haven't received it yet, I'll have to get my hands back on it again because I let somebody get it to make a copy.
That would be great because we have the same problem here. I've been seeing camping tickets. In fact, at the open air shelter last night here in Santa Cruz, I spoke to a man who showed me a camping ticket which he'd gotten. After November 1st, when he was told that he could not come back to the open-air shelter at night by apparently some staff members, and he took it seriously, and he told the police that when he was trying to sleep somewhere else, and they gave him a ticket anyway. So it's an endless runaround, an endless nonsense. I want to thank you, Bill. Is there anything you want to add before I return to the Bob King interview from Marin County?
Thanks again to all the local business people that are working with us homeless people and, that don't mind us playing our music or whatever out in front of their businesses. They know that we attract business for them, and they appreciate us. And thanks for the chance to get on the air again, Robert.
Well, thank you for coming in and giving us an update. Live voices are always preferable to taped voices, and that's what we're going to hear now. I think it's an important interview, and I hope it isn't too badly distorted, unfortunately. It's because there's a lot of static initially. I'm hoping the static dies down, so if your radio crackles a bit, pretend it's Rice Krispies or, bear with us a little bit. Let's get back to Bob King here, in Marin County. He's an activist who's been working for quite a while for homeless rights up there. Let's see what his take on things is.
It's about 8:10 in the morning. I'm on a line with Bob King. Long-time organizer in Marin County. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Robert?
All right. So, how long have you been in this business, Bob?
Well, I started with 8, 9.
What's the organization that you're working with in Marin County?
Well, we thought we had an interview with Bob King, but it looks like we have a date with a tape recorder repairman. Repair person, whatever, a repairer, thank you, yes. Anne is on the job here. Anne does not wish to be left out of the situation as well. She shouldn't. Hey, I'm going to have to fuddle around and find something else to put on the air while I take a breather. Let's see what I've got here for you. Interesting. Maybe we should do is, I may have piqued your interest about that January 1st, 1994 riot downtown. I actually, as I was interviewing people, when the police provoked I came shortly after the police provoked a riot at the town clock on January 1st, 1994 by driving drummers away, and none of this has ever been aired on the radio, and unfortunately it has never really gotten to city council, and it's too bad it didn't. Because some of the motivation for the anti-homeless downtown ordinances, to sit down near a shop, go to jail law, the ask for a dime after dark, go to jail if you do it twice, law. That came from, I think, the perception that everything was out of control because of the riot situation in January, as well as the sleep crime in progress vigils, which is a very peaceful vigil, which you'll actually hear people talking from in this interview. Actually, it's not an interview, it's simply kind of a documentary. It's me on the street with a tape recorder is what it is. So here it is. The point was that the perception of things being out of control happened, but it wasn't because people on the street were out of control. It was because police were beating people up and driving people away from public spaces and provoking anger and provoking a riot situation. And that was the problem. It was never acknowledged. Of course, the Sentinel and all the news media lied about it. And here's the truth. You get to hear the truth on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Anne wants to say something.
Maybe the police were bored and pissed off because they had to work New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that could be, you know. You never can tell.
Somebody, and actually, just a very complimentary statement.
And I'm saying, fuck the police.
Yeah, but did you see anything here that...
Man, does it say in the home of the brave, most laws are unconstitutional.
Are there problems with the...
Yeah, I would assume always on...
So did you see anything specifically that...
No, I left. I was playing baritone sax, and I'm very aware of timing. I knew exactly, and I know, especially New Year's Eve, exactly the time to not be a parent.
Well, it looks like the police have taken this opportunity to do the same, because they are not here at all, and the windows across the street are, in fact, broken out.
Oh, where?
Right over there.
I don't see very well.
Right. On the corner, right across the street.
Check it out. I actually don't see.
Red Top Robert Fleury, a key witness to the whole scene.
Fighting
is breaking out over between... For what reason?
Who can tell?
Are you making a document for official business?
For the public.
Oh.
Of course, it could be seized by anybody, I guess. So apparently some people are guarding the building across the street. Others are lingering.
Things that are dead are more important than things that are alive. Like human flesh and blood has a right above all else. Not just human flesh and blood, but anything that is alive has a fundamental right over anything that's dead. And obviously, because with the exception of this tree right here, there is not much life around us, with the exception of these people that have been treated as if they were dead their whole lives.
All right.
That lady just tried to run after him. Oh, I saw that.
Well, she did it slowly, though.
She was being nice about it.
Right, so a car attempted to go through, and apparently attempted to
run over someone
in the road, and that person kicked the car. Yeah.
But she did it slow enough that it was justifiable, because there's just kids out
there. Is that a question? Fuck the police and tell them I said it, Mandy. Police,
okay,
you can
Mandy.
Take that to your court.
I will.
The most important point is that there is no police.
Hey, man, straight from Diego,
man.
Straight from Diego.
Fuck this
shit. Fuck this. There are no police protecting downtown San
Francisco.
They
drive all over
the
place. We're going to get fucked. They're probably doing the same damn thing we're doing. And if they were, then fuck them. And I'm going that way.
Get the cops. Get the cops.
Are you doing this for paper or for yourself?
For myself.
You got a number you can reach out?
Yeah.
What is it?
429.
429.
9594.
And what's your name?
For Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mike is videoing this in case people want to
record the police
or some vehicles are approaching slowly on the street. In a kind of a slow clearing of the street.
And that was January 1st, 1994, another excerpt from the documentary record of what really happened, how the police provoked a riot and then were able to use it to get repressive legislation downtown. It's quite a story. But I'm going to get back to the Bob King tape. Bob King is a Marin County activist, and you heard a garbled part of that tape a few moments ago. I think we have a less garbled part of it coming up, and I want to give us the opportunity to hear it.
Yourself.
yourselves by staying in the Board of Supervisors' chambers. What was that all about, and what effect did it have?
Well, there was a lack of shelter provided by the county. They were moving slowly with the sheltering in Marin County, or seemingly they were trying to provide no shelter. So after trying to go through the process of trying to get shelter opened up in the normal way, we confronted them in the chambers, took over their seats, and made a big enough impact that you know, later on we were able to get the extra sheltering that we needed for the winter.
What year was this?
Oh God, let's see, this was like 93.
And you actually sat in the seats that the supervisors sat in?
Right, and actually...
And you were arrested?
Yes, we were arrested, and we didn't spend but a day in jail, and later on we had to go to court a couple of times, but eventually the charges were dropped.
How many of you were there in these chambers?
How many were arrested, or how many altogether?
How many started, and then how many were arrested?
Well, we had about 20 or 30 people in the demonstration, and then five of us were arrested. The ones that were sitting in the supervisor's chairs were the ones who were arrested.
Even though you tried to give those chairs some real use, apparently they didn't like that idea.
Anyway, the picture of us sitting in the chairs, although it's kind of indistinguishable, but there's something called a reporter's notebook in the Independent Journal,
which is
the local newspaper up here, and the picture in the corner, and it has a picture of like a court reporter or something with a pen, and it goes through the picture. People seated in the chair are us, and somebody pointed that out, but that's not the normal supervisor sitting in those chairs. Then they blew the picture up, and sure enough, it was us when we had done that demonstration. They're still running that picture, although it's pretty hard to see.
Amazing.
Small little, you know.
You made a lasting impact.
A lasting impact. There we are forever. Sitting in the chairs.
Well, I remember in Marin, you, another one of the impacts that your demonstrations and protests had was, I think it was 92 or 93, thereabouts, you were able to open Whispering Pines, which was a homeless-run encampment that was actually, what, quarter of a mile from the, or even closer to the city council, the Board of Supervisors chambers up in San Rafael.
Yeah, what had happened is they had closed the armory in the spring with no intention of ever opening it again, and that meant there probably wouldn't be any winter shelter in Marin for a long time. So we just camped out right there at the Civic Center, and
this is where the Board of Supervisors meets.
That's right. And we stayed there all summer long, even though under threat of daily, you know, they're going to come and take us all out and you know, send us to wherever. We had legal aid helping us to, you know, threaten them with an injunction if they did that. And anyway, we lasted until the fall, and they did at that time open up a defunct college and housed everybody there, which was, you know, kind of nice. It was kind of out of the way, but it had all the facilities that one needed, you know, to get through, and it was something that wouldn't have happened unless we had done that.
How large was your campground?
Well, we had about 100 or 120 people camping there.
And was it self-run?
We could have gone higher than that. There were some, you know, they got really aggressive with us when the camp kept expanding, and they were afraid we were going to be swamped with homeless people from everywhere. So,
did that in fact happen? Did people come from Philadelphia and Venezuela?
Well, not from Philadelphia, but you know, after all, it was the summertime, and there were very few camps of people that were legal. You know, during the summer, all the winter shelters were shut down. But you know, people from Santa Rosa, some from the city, and of course the majority from here. But you know, if we had stayed there any longer, I'm sure we would have had a, you know, a goodly number. We could have had probably 400 or 500 people camped out, which shows you the extent of the homeless problem, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's, you know, interesting.
So, in essence, what's happened since then to you? It's really an important issue for many of us down here because we have an open-air shelter that's about to close, the only one that we know of in Northern California, and that's going to displace 200 people, many of whom can go into Winter Armory shelter, but their intention then is to completely destroy the open-air shelter for next year, that is to say, to have none. And in Santa Cruz, as you may remember, the city of Santa Cruz has an illegal camping ban, which makes it illegal for people to sleep after 11 o'clock at night, even on much private property. So it's really kind of a very strong law against, elemental and basic human rights needs for poor people who are outside.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing now is, first of all, sheltering is a kind of a safety net, band-aid thing that covers up the root problems of lack of living wage jobs and affordable housing. So that was okay for a while, to hide that glaring fact of our the inequitable part of our economy here. And now, rather than provide the safety net, it's take away the safety net and, dump on the victims and in fact, take them to jail and this and that and provide no shelter at all. So if there's no housing and there's no jobs for people with stay in housing, it's like the ostrich sticking their head in the sand, and hoping that it'll go away. Well, I think it's going to make it worse if you take away all the support systems and you don't provide ways for people to get back in to gain some self-sufficiency and dignity, then, things aren't going to get better. They're going to get worse.
So what happened to all those folks who were camping in, I guess you called it, was Whispering Pines? Is that the name of the...
Yeah, well, I don't know. People, many of them are still around here. Many of them are from Marin and others have moved on. This is part of what we're seeing now is with the Matrix and the Matrix 2 and with Wilson, with Jordan. And even here in Marin, they all take their cue, of course, from, the top down, and the idea is to keep people moving. And we've been seeing here in Marin a lot of that, especially around election time. There were camps, the outside camps were busted, and attempts to ticket people who were jaywalking in front of the dining hall, all kinds of silly stuff, but dumping out of the carts where people had their gear stored in, just to show that they're tough on poor people, okay? So, this war against the homeless and the poor people is very intense here during the election. I hope it's going to back off after.
Did people run on platforms that were anti-homeless?
Oh, yeah. That's what we had here. We had exactly the same kind of platform here. It was not successful, however. We had two council seats open and a mayor's race, and the opposition for those seats was anti-homeless, and it was to the right of Attila the Hun, believe
right.
me.
But they didn't win.
They didn't win. And boy, but everybody was holding their breath, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So,
what about winter shelter up there?
That's good, they didn't win, and hopefully things will, smooth out a little bit.
What about winter shelter up there, Bob?
Well, the winter shelter opened early this year for a change. It opened about the first week of October.
That's the Armory
winter shelter? Closed about the middle of April. It's already fall. And
how many people does it take?
It only holds 80 people.
And how many homeless people do you have, you estimate, need that kind of shelter?
Hundreds here that, still out in the street.
And are those in the street being harassed by the police?
Oh, yeah, after a while, some people, they just change camps, move to some other part of Marin, but others just move on. I mean, this is what we're seeing in all the counties. People are getting harassed, and sometimes they can take so much, and then they go look, maybe they go down your way, maybe they go up to Santa Rosa. Some people talking going to Oregon, so it's really the great migration kind of thing. People milling and moving, and then maybe they'll eventually disappear.
Now, one of your local towns, Corte Madera, passed an anti-panhandling law, is that right?
Yeah, right now, though, it's being litigated, and the legal people tell us that Corte Madera has agreed not to prosecute people under that until it's decided in the courts. Now, they are being very aggressive about another type of law, which is If you're anywhere near the freeway entrances, that's a different type of law.
Oh, for signs, you mean?
Yeah, they can bust you for that, but that's not the panhandling law per se that they were trying to pass, which meant you couldn't be within a certain number of feet of any roadway. I mean, it would eventually exclude you from panhandling anywhere except maybe in the parking lots of the the stores and stuff like that.
Marin traditionally, Marin's the richest county in the state, as I understand it.
Yeah.
And it's traditionally had a certain compassionate part of it. At least there's been a compassionate sense among some groups in Marin for people who are poor and for people displaced by the economy. Although I understand there's been a kind of an attack on immigrants in San Rafael, an attack on immigrants trying to get work, so-called illegal immigrants, and even perhaps legal immigrants. What's happening around that?
Well, it's still going on, and you know, the liberalism that we have here is a kind of a hilltop. Liberalism, you know, the people who live on hilltops and, you know, they want to be liberal when it comes to, right down to it, though, when it comes down to their property values being threatened, then that liberalism disappears.
And
it's really about space, it's about the fear of losing your investments, and, you know, it's something that everyone has bought into, whether you're liberal or conservative. You invest in property, and that property has a certain value in it. And if it's teeter-tottering and you're thinking of losing your investment, sometimes your liberalism
heads for the hills, pretty much.
Yeah, right. So it's like, keep those people at the bottom of the hill down there, right? And so we can stay at the top of the hill, and then we can say nice things, you know, liberal things from the top. But when they start getting close to, you know, to where we live, then forget it. So it's about money, you know, and it's about the, you know, the fear that everything's going to collapse, and we know America runs on being on money and on being successful. So
right. So if poor people are coming through Marin for one reason or another, or people are in transit, how can they get in touch with what's going on if they want to support anything you are doing to protect the rights of poor people? How can they get, you know, like, where are your free meals and that sort of thing?
Yeah, the free meals are located at St. Vincent's Dining Room, and that's at 815 B Street. And then
in San Rafael.
In San Rafael. And at 16 Ritter Street, two or three blocks away, downtown San Rafael, is Human Concern Center, and then I have an office in the back of that, so the Marin Homeless in Action, which is the advocacy and activist group in Marin, the only one, and we, you know, we can direct people. We have information referral here.
What's your phone number, Bob?
And the phone number here is a 415 area code. It's 459-5009.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you. Don't hang up, but I'm going to say goodbye to you, at least for this part of the interview.
Okay.
And, hey, hang in there. Anything you wish.
And you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. looks like our levels have suddenly risen thanks to timely technical intervention from visiting guest star and occasional guest host, Skidmark Bob, musician from the defunct, but not entirely defunct band. Well, it's funky more than defunct. Just kidding. Well, Bob, what's happening? You rushed into the studio with... You attempted to collar me as a supposed FCC agent, but you're not. I know that. They would never take a guy like you. And what's happening?
Well, tonight there's going to be a meeting with the citizens of Lower Ocean at the Resource Center for Scott Kennedy. Oh, I'm sorry. Resource Center for Nonviolence. What is that? 509, 510 Broadway. Tonight... Yes.
You can actually, you don't have to go
back to the thing. Okay. Yes, I picked up the levels a little bit. Anyway, there's going to be a meeting tonight, citizens of Lower Ocean. In case you don't know, should we answer this or what? Okay.
Hi there, caller. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz, squeaking away.
Hey, man, can you take me off the air?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's going to be a meeting tonight of Citizens of Lower Ocean, which these people have been organizing to... they've been doing some good things. They've been fixing a lot of the sidewalks and a lot of the stuff that's been going on. People are talking here. Anyway, there's going to these people are fixing sidewalks, and they're trying to turn the racket thing down on off of East Cliff. to it turned into a racquetball thing or whatever. Anyway, I'm just losing my train of thought. There's going to be a meeting tonight because there's going to be a lot of issues concerning around the people selling drugs on Barson Street. The police have been doing various, from what I've been finding out, is that they've been doing a lot of surveillance, and there's a lot of certain people that are involved in the Low Ocean that want to get rid of some of the houses, some of them on Campbell Street and some of them on Clay Street, the ones that don't look so good, and I've been hearing that they've been surveying some of the people that live in the area and trying to find reasons to get rid of these houses. One of the houses was on Campbell and Barson that actually got raided, and basically now they have new tenants, and so they want to clean up the area, and they want to raise the property values and all that kind of thing, and they're going to be pushing out a lot of people that don't exactly believe the way they believe.
So it's not just the open-air shelter that is suffering, going to be suffering eviction problems. Looks like the last one right again. Oh, let's see, you're going to be right in front of it. It's always an experiment here with, trying to turn it down. Not up, but down. I'm getting echo chamber effects. Well, we're working it out here in the studio, folks. Bear with us. Anyway, Bob, I took a phone call while you were doing that that last discussion of the Barson Street meeting. When again is that meeting?
Tonight at 7 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence at 509 or 510 Broadway, and that's at Broadway and Ocean, and be there and talk about your opinions and about what's going on with the police there. They've been doing they did a roadblock and searching people's cars and stuff like that, and they've been cutting down a lot of people in a lot of different ways, and I think we should all show up for this meeting.
What time is it again?
It's at 7 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolent Citizens of Lower Ocean Meeting.
Right, actually that's the building right next to 509 Broadway, and Bob will be outside singing with his Just Kidding.
No, I won't.
We're hoping we can talk Bob. Anyway, Bob will be inside talking, if not. And Bob, you also had something you said that, another update on the latest situation regarding the homelessness and employment situation. Actually, there was, it's kind of an update on this situation with Kim interviewed a camper, a man who was camping up at UCSC, and I see you're bringing up your tape there. The man apparently got a camping ticket at UCSC for camping up there. He hiked all the way down after some UCSC police had followed him in, given him a camping ticket. This is the second-hand report I have. And he actually worked as a security guard downtown. Well, apparently, what's the update on that story?
Well, I just had an interview with him, and I played for you right now. As you can see it up.
This is Skid Mark Bob, and I'm talking with Mike King, ex-security officer at the Metro. And can you tell me what's going on here? I guess you got fired? Well, I'm not fired from the company, but the district requested that I don't work their post anymore. They say because I slough off and everything, but I work as hard or harder than most officers at this post, and it's because I wear my house on my back and I don't go to my house at night.
And they have a problem with that?
I believe they have a problem with that.
So you can't work here at the Metro anymore because you're homeless?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. And that's really messed up.
You going to try to fight this, or...?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking of grabbing an attorney and seeing what I can do about it, because that's, you know, I would love to see the district for that, because that is a load of crap. I'm really upset about it.
So people know that you're homeless and that you're, you know, trying to support yourself. I guess I the interview you did with Kim, and that you're paying child support and then you're having to live in the woods, get camping tickets and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I got a ticket like a week and a half ago for camping, and that kind of sucked, but, you know, I can deal with that because, you know, I was out of bounds, but, you know, I don't think it's wrong to be homeless, but, you know, this breaks the camel's back totally, and I am pissed.
That's fucked up.
I'm pissed.
All right, thanks. Thanks a lot.
And you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz, listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We're trying to avoid the echo, but, wow, it's hard. Can you turn the feedback down a little bit, Bob? Thanks. We're going to have an expanded version of Bathurst Stories Broadsize today, but we're not sure if it's going to go through the noon hour because of the unusual scheduling tactics of the ever-exciting Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective. So what may happen is we may close down between 12 and 1 as far as my show goes, but my show will return. Bye-bye, Bob. That was Skid Mark Bob giving you his traveling update. He'll be returning at 2:30 to continue his usual music and madness and community interest programming. And I'll be back at 1 o'clock. I'm not going to leave yet, but I may leave at 12 to take a break from 12 to 1, but I'll be back at 1 for another hour and a half of an expanded version of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. We are going to do a little more interview listening now. I'm hoping that... I am fumbling. We also spoke this morning with Keith McHenry. We, meaning I. Keith McHenry is a Food Not Bombs activist in San Francisco who has been fighting the good fight for food and justice for people for, 16 or 17 years at least, if not longer. He recently returned from a tour where he went around organizing and talking to little Food Not Bombs groups throughout the country. His second such tour, Keith McHenry was the subject of some notoriety last year when he was jailed on multiple felony counts, concocted felony counts by the San Francisco authorities. Ever eager to get rid of Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, he took a rather unusual deal whereby it was a strange kind of probation which lasted only for a year, in which he could only have his probation violated for some serious violent crime, in which he could continue to feed food even though it's technically illegal to serve free food in San Francisco. I was convicted under the injunction, which makes it illegal in San Francisco to serve free food, and I've been sentenced to 2 months in jail. And more on that when we get more of an update. My latest attempt to overturn that conviction was thrown out by the court, and the conviction was upheld, so I'm still facing 2 months in jail, and indeed may have to deal with that issue in January. And by the way, if anybody knows of a place for me to live next week, I guess the campground's available. We'll look into that. Back in the studio with us is Bill from who's been roaming about in San Francisco, and he's got a beautiful hat with him. My goodness, it's brown. It's got flowers and feathers. And black. You see, I'm not only colorblind, I'm blackness blind. So you said you have some. You said you want to issue a warning about potential rapist on the loose. This is apparently our crime service part of the show. Tell us, Bill, and be very clear about where you're getting this information from. Okay.
Robert, okay, the information came from a very good source. He's a hot dog vendor on Pacific Avenue. As a brother, a very, very, very good brother. And he informed me just now, as I was out getting a couple tapes for you, that there's a rapist going around disguising himself as like a homeless person, and he's attacking homeless women. My source says, gave me information that one of the very popular young ladies on the street named Bubbles was almost attacked the other night. Fortunately, there was a good brother around who deferred that situation and whatnot, and she was able to get away. So,
we interrupt our report here to talk on Free Radio Santa Cruz with an incoming caller. Yes.
Yeah, this is Rolling Thunder. I'm out here at the campground.
Yes.
And I'm part of this, trying to get this situation settled here.
Save our shelter?
Yeah. So I had a few things I wanted to say about what's been going on.
Uh-huh.
Haven't heard that much about that, really.
Actually, the campground was discussed in the first hour and a half. We kind of have roamed onto other topics, but certainly I'm glad you're bringing us back to it. Maybe we can hold off on the rape report.
I think people should understand that we're trying to find a solution here with CCH and the mayor. But we've got a lame duck mayor who doesn't really give a damn and says she's powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a CCH that apparently has gone out of the homeless business and they're just into transitional housing for people with SSI or drug and alcohol-related problems.
Actually, hang on.
What needs to be pointed out here is that in their doing this, what the people that remain out here,
mm-hmm.
the 50 or 100 people who choose to stay and resist or maybe get arrested,
mm-hmm.
are the kind of people who are not the alcohol-dependent or drugged or helpless program addicts, you know, that they traditionally handle. There are a lot of the people who are working. There are people who are semi-independent, semi-self-sufficient, and haven't quite found a place, whether in the, you know, the straight system to make a job and a house and, you know, in the normal way, or people who want to transit into doing natural things or living more naturally, which takes more time and more, it's more complicated to go about doing, and which the social service system is totally obstructive of, is not helpful in supporting.
Mm-hmm.
What we have people down here that have special needs. You know, they may need a month or two more before they can find a house or a place with income or a communal group they want to live with or whatever it is. And they're trying to do that and do it by self-motivation, which is what supposedly the whole social system is about, trying to support. And what we see instead are people being shuffled into drug programs and alcohol programs and a lot of money going for that. And then the people that are mostly single males and some people with families and independent women are being sloughed off and given no attention, as if they just have to shift for themselves. And some of those have special needs too, and that's not happening. We need the mayor and the community and the church groups that are running CCH and the ISSP program out here to get out here and give us some special individual attention and not shut this place down, but try to help us to transit out of this place, you know, and find suitable employment or housing or something else, not just shut it down and not just find an alternate site, you know, but they should be working on an alternate site too.
So what do you think of this plan, Rolling Thunder, to go to City Council tomorrow at 3 o'clock for a meal, 3:30 for a speak out, maybe then again at 7 o'clock for a speak out?
I think it's great. You have to understand that in this state and throughout the country, there are thousands of cities where you cannot walk, you cannot sit, no loitering, no talking, no shouting, no peeing, no drinking, no smoking.
No restrooms.
You have to keep moving, schnell, schnell, keep it moving, always with speed. Everything is geared towards the running of cars and machines and schedules and time and speed. And there's no place for people to just be. And people that have been, you know, dislocated for a variety of reasons wind up in these, you know, situations like this place here in Santa Cruz at the River Street Shelter, and they're burned out or they're hurt or they're broke, you know, from that whole speed trip. And they're not particularly interested in jumping right back into it. And what you have are social service programs that have been going on here for 20 years, 10 years, 15 years to solve these problems with institutional solutions, you know, that aren't working. You see people here at River Street, they've been on the program for 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. It takes a year, year and a half to get into